Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to the service here this morning. Glad for everyone here, visitors. Welcome as well. Also appreciate the choice of sending those library books to Romania. The other is important too, but you know, we have about 16 students in the school over there, and they are mostly Romanian children. I think maybe there's three that aren't. And so those children have the curriculum they're using is English, and so they have to learn another language, and they have to work hard. Not only do they have to learn to speak English, but they have to learn the concepts. When they read something, they have to be able to know what they're reading and do their lessons and figure out what it means in a language that they haven't grown up with. And so these library books help them a lot in that. And of course, with the children learning English, it has opened up a lot more possibilities as far as material that's available. And so we're glad to that they can have this available. The more they can read, the more books they can read in English, the better their comprehension is going to be of even their school lessons. All right, this morning I'd like to take the meditation from Luke, the 15th chapter, and you recognize this is a chapter of parables, and the parable of the prodigal son is here. I would like to just use part of that this morning, and starting in verse 22, my focus is going to be on the second son. We often think about the prodigal son when we read this, and we can relate to that as we think about the one who made wrong choices and came to the end of himself and returned back to his father's house. But I'd like to look at the other son, and you know, maybe we can relate to him as well and find some positive things there that will help us to not be like he was. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. The scripture I want to focus on is there in verse 31, where it says to his son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Now, that's terrific treasure. That is continuing opportunity and blessing that this son was exposed to, that he was evidently not noticing or appreciating or even maybe aware of. And so I believe that the father's answer here to this son reveals to us the heart of our Father in heaven. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And we often speak of the wonderful revelation of the Father's heart. in receiving the prodigal home again after he had been gone for such a long time and in such deplorable conditions. But maybe there's something even more wonderful here that we're missing as we think about the other son and what all was available to him and what he could have and what he could have been enjoying, and yet he wasn't in. And, you know, unfortunately, and I speak this first of all to myself, it's so easy to come into the place of the second son, the one who has had all the benefits, the one who has everything available to them, and yet they don't even recognize it and aren't enjoying it or aren't really benefiting like they should. And so if we're going to experience a deepening spiritual life, then I think we want to discover what is the spiritual life that God would have us to live. On the one hand, you know, what is all available there for us? And on the other hand, to ask whether we are living that life. And if not, what hinders us living it out fully? And so we have a tremendous privilege as the children of God. We have been given a name, a new name, and we serve him that has a name above all names, and that's Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is our elder brother, and we have a Father who loves us and cares for us. And so he says, Son, thou art ever with me. And, you know, I know that God desires to be with us, but how about us, our position? Where do we find ourselves in relation to God? Such unbroken fellowship with the Father. You know, does that describe my relationship with God? Or am I out there so busy in the nuts and bolts of everyday living that we forget who we're serving and why we're serving him? You know, we have God's promise to Jacob there in the Old Testament, where he says, Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And that's the promise that we have from God, is that he will, he's there for us, he's provided for our spiritual needs, our physical, material needs. And so we see this as we look at a lot of the Old Testament saints, characters of the Old Testament, going through difficulties or living out the their life of faith based on a promise that they had not yet seen fulfilled. And so if God was that kind of God in the Old Testament, how much more do we find our Lord promising to those who live for him and to keep his word that the Father will love them as well and will come and make their abode with him? We have that scripture in John 14, the 23rd verse, where he says, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, actually, that is more than just living in the same house. It's more than just him coming and living with us. It takes it even deeper than that. And it's not just him coming to be near to us, but the Bible says to be in us. And that's quite intimate, that we might be filled with his indwelling presence. If we go back again to the 14th chapter of John, that's a wonderful chapter there. In the 17th verse, he says that. He says, even the Spirit of truth whom the world, maybe I should read 16. And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And so that is That's where God wants to be. He wants to be abiding with us and in us, and he wants to make us fruitful and useful. And he doesn't just want us to have the trappings of and a profession of Christianity, but he wants us actually to have him in our heart. And we do the things that we do because of the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, because of who we are, because of him. And not just because of wanting to establish some kind of identity. But we actually are that kind of person. We are the one who has the Spirit of God working and filling us with fruitfulness. Yes, we of course want to be doing the good works, but not just for the sake of doing them, but because we love it, we want it, we desire it. It's who we are. It defines us. And it takes us further from the world and closer to God, further from the things that this world esteems, and closer to God, and the kind of person that he would have us to be, in humility and in faithfulness and fruitfulness. The second thing he says here is, he says, all that I have is thine. You know, did God give us everything that he had? He said, all that I have is thine. Well, you know, if he gave us his son, how would he not then with him also freely give us all things? He gave us the most valuable thing, the most precious possession that he had, his son. All that I have is thine. In Christ, you know, we have his love, we have his spirit, we have his glory. Paul says it this way. He says, all things are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. All things are yours. What's he talking about? And ye are Christ's. That puts it within the context of living and being like Jesus and taking on his profile, his personality. And when people see us, they can see Jesus. Did that second son have that profile? All the riches of his son, the everlasting king, God bestows on every one of his children. When Jesus says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, ye shall receive it. What does he mean by that? Certainly, if we are what we should be, and if we are like Jesus and we ask in his name, then we will ask like he did. And that is, I'm willing to give up my will for your will, Father. You know what's best for me. You know better than I do. I want to submit to the Father's will. And that's what Jesus did. And when we do that, we have that attitude, we can ask. We have this promise that if we ask, we shall receive. Well, is that really where I am this morning? Am I in that position where that's just what I want to be? I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, and I am living a life of fellowship with him. All that he has is mine, and he is ever with me. Well, the elder son says that he was serving his father these many years, and yet he says, you never gave me a kid. And the prodigal son received the fatted calf. But I never even got as much as a kid. What is our attitude? What is our concept of service? Are we trying to earn our salvation? Are we looking to God and saying, well, you know, I'm doing all this hard work, all these years I serve you, and don't even get a kid? You know, there's a lot of people that are angry at God. And even some of many of those who profess to have him as their father, they're just kind of angry at God, just kind of upset. I'm getting a bad deal. I'm really not getting what I was promised. Why do people feel that way? Well, probably one thing that was going on here was the second son never asked for a kid or a fatted calf. He was so busy with what he was doing, he probably didn't even think of it that he would get it if he did ask. And therefore, he never asked for it or enjoyed it. His attitude was an attitude of drudgery, murmuring, complaining, hard labor. You know, I have to give up this. I have to give up that. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't go here. I can't go there. Is that as far as our Christianity goes? I have to do this. I have to do that. Is that as deep as it is? If it is, then we're just kind of in the same place that this son was at with his murmuring and dissatisfaction. Well, and so who was the second son upset at? He was upset at the father, wasn't he? You know, it's kind of your fault. Here I've served you all these years, and I don't get anything for it. And yet you do this for the other son who was so disobedient. Well, the truth is that every one of us has the promise of unbroken fellowship with God. If fellowship is broken, whose fault is it? You know, we can say, I have tried hard, I've done my best. And yet, you know, where is the joy? The truth is that the rich blessings of God's care and his provision are for all children, for all his children. His grace is there for everyone. He is able to make all grace abound towards you, like he says to the Corinthian church. The Bible talks about a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory as the fruit of believing. And of a love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given unto us. This unspeakable joy, this love of God that shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that he's given to us, that's something we can all have. Do we really want it? Do we understand that it's available to us? Do we even desire it? Or are we too much like the man with the muckrake in Pilgrim's Progress, so stooped over and just so engrossed in the things below him that he could not see the crown that was being suspended over his head, and he was just concentrating on the difficulties of his life? What about the other promise where the Father says, all I have is thine? And the Bible talks about the riches, the treasures of Christ. That's not only talking about the reward at the end. That's talking about our Christian life now. Are you experiencing those treasures? Are you rejoicing in them? Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation? It's not dependent on just if everything is going good. If we're not experiencing that kind of thing in our Christian life, let's not be like that second son and put the blame on God. Whose fault was it that he was so focused on the doing that he wasn't able to receive those treasures and enjoy them. I think of the sun. You know, the sun never stops shining. We can pull the shades. We can block up the window, screw plywood over it, or brick it up, or whatever you want to do. And it gets dark. We can live in a dark house. But that doesn't mean the sun isn't shining anymore. And that's kind of the way it is with some people's life, their spiritual life, and their relationship with God, and experiencing the fullness of His blessing. They're like a person who has boarded up their windows, and they're not receiving the blessing of the sun. The sun is still shining, but we're not, and the purpose of the sun is that things grow. That's one of the things. The things grow. You plant things, and they start to grow, and they finally produce fruit, and that's a satisfying thing. And that's what God wants us to do as we continue in our fellowship with Him. He wants us also to grow and to bear fruit. And if we're going to block Him out of our lives, we're not going to bear the kind of fruit that He would like for us to bear. Remember the man there in the parable who says, "I know that thou art a hard master, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed, asking and demanding what you haven't given." Is that our attitude towards Christianity, towards our Christian life? If it is, we're to be pitied. But we all find ourselves sinking in that direction. That's kind of the natural way to go, especially when we don't keep in touch with God and we lose sight of our blessings, our privileges. And so, looking at that elder son, what was the cause of that terrible difference between the heart of the father and the experience of the son? Was it not simple unbelief? Like the children of Israel, as they wandered through the wilderness there, and God clave the rocks, gave them drink as out of a great debt, out of great debts. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Yet they continued to doubt. He provided meat for them. But they spake against the Lord and said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Later on, we read there in the 78th Psalm that they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Through unbelief, through doubting, they were not able to enter into the promised land because of that doubting, that murmuring, that complaining, in spite of the fact that God had given them all those blessings, all those rich blessings throughout their years of wandering in the wilderness. When they came there to Kadesh Barnea, and were ready to enter the promised land, they sent out those 12 spies. Only 10 of them came back with two of them came back with a good report. The other 10 were negative, and all the 600,000, finally their carcasses fell in the wilderness. They could not enter in. Why couldn't they enter in? Because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. And so, that's what limits our not availability, but our ability to receive is unbelief. And so without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And this walk that I'm talking about is a walk of faith. Not having seen the promises, yet we receive. And we receive with joy whatever God gives to us. And we bear fruit for Him. So let's not be like that second son. And let's take advantage of what God has given to us. Let's live a Christian life with joy, not in a legalistic way.